Hello and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Quiva, and my friend MJ.
Yo!
Before we start, I want to address something from episode 9. I butchered Yin Wenzhou's name even worse than I normally do with names in this show. I just wrote it down as incorrectly in my script and left out the N, so apologies for that. It should have been Yin Wenzhou for the entire episode.
For want of an N.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this episode, though, is going to feature threats, death, and capital punishment. The usual.
Woo!
At this point.
Yay!
And this is Quiva from the future, just to also say that MJ is going to mention, like, a few nasty ways to die in a second. And later on in the episode, the topic drifts to drugs.
It's getting pretty intense with the warnings, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
I mean,
don't get me wrong,
I'm here for the drama. I really am.
I mean, death is gonna be pretty constant throughout this book, to be honest. Though, kind of the way in which people die is going to vary, I guess. If that's any consolation.
If you have more than one disemboweling every couple of chapters, it's just going to lose its effect.
Yeah.
You got to space the disembowelings out, maybe, you know, maybe include some bloodletting or throat slitting, other torturous ways to die, you know, vary it.
I'm going to need to go back and add another content warning before you,
oh, no!
for you saying all of that.
I'm so sorry. I'm a walking content warning. I apologize. I've been doing comedy for too fucking long.
So for the last couple of episodes, we've been talking about the monk Xuan Zhang, real and fictional. But we're going to leave him behind again for a little bit. And chapter 10 starts off following two men who live outside Chang'an, the capital of Tang China.
Okay.
They're a fisherman named Zhang Xiao and a woodman named Li Dang. And despite their poverty, they're both literate and well-read. And every day after each is done selling their work in the city, they like to meet up at the local inn by the bank of the River Jing for a chat.
Okay. Cool.
And today they just start chatting about how their lives are so much better than people who try and seek fame, fortune, or status. Basically just, oh thank God we don't have to deal with any of that shite.
Fair.
And this quickly devolves into an argument about which one of them has it better. And by argument I mean poetry, and by that I mean this chapter starts with over a dozen poems and as many footnotes.
Is it a rap battle?
It's basically a rap battle. They even have two long poems where they're like supposedly composing them on the fly, with each one making up every other line.
Whoa. So it's kind of an alien concept to me as an Irish person to kind of have an argument over whose life is better. I mean, we are not known for talking at our own achievements or for passing up a chance to complain about something.
No.
So
I'm not going to read all these poems, but one thing to note is that a couple of these are the first of many poems in this book that are to the tune of a piece called Moon Over the West River, a rendition of which I use samples from as the intro and outro music for the show.
Oh, very cool. Totally off track. My brain is kind of like bouncing all over the place today. Did you know you can sing basically all of Emily Dickinson's poems to the Yellow Rose of Texas?
No, I'm also unfamiliar with the Yellow Rose of Texas. The name sounds familiar, but I couldn't tell you, identify it, I think.
I can't remember it either. I don't know. That's your trivia for today. I've given very little to this podcast, so I'm gonna put in like a little bit of trivia.
Cool.
Every now and then, just totally unprompted and unasked. Sorry, I will not derail you again.
It's okay. So after all the poetry battles, they decide to head home. And Zhang just says to Li, take care up on your mountain. You'll be missed if you get eaten by a tiger. And Li gets mad at this. He basically considers it a jinx, and says Zhang shouldn't say things like that. And says, if I'm harmed by a tiger, your boat will surely capsize on the river. And Zhang brushes it off and he says he'll never capsize. And Li asks him, what makes you so sure of that? All it takes is one unexpected storm.
Pissed off dragon.
Funny you should say that, actually. So,
Oh,
Zhang says that every day when he goes into the city to sell his fish, he gives a carp to a fortune teller on Westgate Street. And the fortune teller does some rhabdomancy, which is divination by means of throwing sticks in the air and seeing how they land,
okay.
and tells him where to cast his nets to get a good catch. And he's always correct every single time.
Sweet.
And the two men with that just head home. But unbeknownst to them, a patrolling yaksha was overheard their conversation. These things are really nosy. They're constantly overhearing conversations.
They live for the drama, all the gossip.
The yaksha rushes back to the local dragon king to tell him about the fortune teller because he's worried that if this is true, the whole river is just going to get fished to extinction.
Yeah,
So,
that's fair. You gotta look after the ecological implications of your fortune telling. Gotta think about that. He's ahead of his time.
you gotta protect the ecosystem and not overfish.
I say he's ahead of his time, but that's a very kind of Western way of thinking about it. I don't know what the general feelings on that were in during the Ming Dynasty, so.
So the Dragon King is furious at this, and he goes to get his sword just to kill the fortune teller himself straight away. But his dragon sons, dragon grandsons, shrimp ministers, crab ministers, samly councillor, perch sub-director of the minor court, and carp president of the board of civil office all rush up to tell him to calm down.
Whoa.
It's a great list.
It's good to first of all, I love the fish titles. I
Yeah.
adore it so much.
I love every time they come back. It's great.
It's great that he has people around him that are going to hold him accountable and stop him from becoming too much of a mad king. I think that's very important.
Oh, well, like, they don't really care if he kills the fortune teller, but they think if he, like, marches into the capital of China in dragon form and starts killing people, it will probably start causing a bit of chaos. So
Well, yeah, exactly.
They advise him to at least go in disguise first and see if the fortune teller is legit, and if he is, then you could murder him.
Yeah, just generally just chill the fuck out. Let's take a moment. Let's have a seaweed coffee break and, really think about our strategy. Again, I like this. I like this. This seems like a responsible way to organize your fish court.
So, the Dragon King disguises himself as a white-robed scholar and heads to Westgate Street. And in the crowd, he overhears someone giving astrological advice and figures that must be the fortune teller. So, the fortune teller is a man named Yuan Xucheng, and he's uncle of Yuan Tian Kang, president of the Imperial Board of Astronomy, and he seems to know his shit.
Okay, so he's legit, in other words, a
Yeah.
bit of a Renaissance fortune teller. So I was thinking they're kind of plot twists, this is the astrology guy, you're looking for the stick guy.
No,
Like asking a dermatologist to prescribe you your psych meds,
your dermatologist slash drug dealer.
You're the one who said it.
The Dragon King basically asks him for tomorrow's weather forecast, and Yuan throws up his sticks, and he predicts there will be 3 feet, 3 inches, and 48 drops of rain between 11 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon.
That is
It is
specific.
very specific.
That's 48 drops of rain.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't see anyone actually going to the bother of measuring that, to be honest. So we go like, yeah, about 3 feet. Also, that's a hell of a lot of rain. I just realized that. We're from the land of the perennial damp, and I think that's flood warning conditions.
Yeah.
I hope your man isn't going out on his wee boat.
Yeah, that's a good point. He doesn't come back up ever again.
Okay.
Yeah, those guys are gone. They were just there to introduce the chapter, basically.
I was invested.
No, they're gone home. That's
this
fine.
This is what fan fiction is for.
I'm sure there's great slash fiction for them.
if you know, be the change you wish to see in the world. If I cannot find it, I will create it.
But so the Dragon
King. It's got to be. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, go on.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say there's got to be fan fiction of it, because there's actually a really good slow burn fic out there about the red and green Lewis lines.
Okay, and how they were kept apart for so long.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to have read as much of it as I did, but it is really well written.
Amazing. You'll find a link to that in the show notes.
I will send it to you.
So the Dragon King laughs anyway, and he says to the fortune teller, "You'd better not be joking. I'm going to come back tomorrow, and if you're correct, I'll give you 50 taels of gold. But if your predictions are in any way wrong, I'll come back, tear down your front door, tear down your sign, and chase you out of Chang'an myself." To which Yuan basically says, "Yeah, sure, see you tomorrow."
Love it, cocky bastard.
So the Dragon King heads home, and he tells everyone about his bet, and they all have a really good laugh about this, because the Dragon King controls the weather. He's literally in charge of when it rains. It's basically impossible for him to lose, short of divine intervention. So then a messenger from the Jade Emperor arrives, carrying instructions that tomorrow there should be 3 feet, 3 inches, and 48 drops of rain between 11 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon in Chang'an.
The fuck? I imagine he is not... The Dragon King is not best pleased at this news.
He faints.
Oh my god. I mean, that's better than going nuclear, I guess.
Yeah, so he faints from shock. When he comes to, the family counselor suggests just fudging the instructions a little bit, you know, enough to discredit the fortune teller, but not so much that the heaven would take notice.
Fair.
He goes through with this plan, and the next day he sends out the Duke of Wind, the Lord of Thunder, the Boy of Clouds, and the Mother of Lightning to go bring the rain. Slightly later than officially instructed, and sending 3 inches and 8 drops fewer than ordered.
Okay.
After that's done, he disguises himself again and heads back to Yuan's shop. And without a word, he just starts smashing everything in the shop. Yuan sits calmly in the middle of his shop as the Dragon King just snaps all his brushes and shatters his ink dish. And he rips the door off and starts screaming at Yuan, "You're nothing but a bogus prophet, an imposter who deludes the minds of the people. Your predictions are incorrect. Your words are patently false. Leave here at once before you're executed." And...
Woo!
Yeah, Yuan finally responds. He knows exactly who the Dragon King is, and that he's disobeyed the Jade Emperor's instructions. And he says, "No, you're the one who's going to be executed."
Yeah, I mean, the guy clearly has an in. I feel like that should have been obvious from
specificity,
detailed instructions he was given.
He's not much further on Yuan or any suggestion that he's divine. I think he's actually just incredibly good at his job.
Ah.
But yeah, the Dragon King immediately drops to his knees and begs for forgiveness and starts just saying, you know, it was my joke maybe went a bit far. It was a prank. didn't mean anything by it. Like, the translation literally does use the word prank. I'm not making that up.
You know those funny pranks where you smash up someone's means of making a living?
Yeah, and threaten to have them executed.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah,
my favorite.
It's classic. It's hilarious. So absolutely, April Fools, you're destitute.
So Yuan tells the Dragon King that he is to be executed tomorrow afternoon by a human judge named Wei Zhang, who is the prime minister under Emperor Tang Taizong. And if he wants a stay of execution, he should go ask the Emperor for it.
So he's submitting to earthly authority?
Yep.
Huh, interesting.
So he goes to Emperor Taizong in his dreams and tells him that Wei Zheng is going to execute him, and he begs for Taizong to prevent it. Taizong agrees, and the next morning in court, he looks for Wei Zheng and realizes he's not there because Wei Zheng stayed home because while meditating, he received a holy message that, you know, with the instructions to execute the Dragon King as well. So he spent the day at home preparing for the execution by bathing, fasting, and sharpening his magic sword. He just has a magic sword. It's fine.
He just has one that's just lying around. Okay.
Emperor Taizong sends a messenger to summon Wei Zheng to court. And despite the execution, he doesn't want to disobey the Emperor either, so he heads to court. The Emperor doesn't mention anything about the execution, but he just decides to try and keep Wei busy for the day, playing Go.
Okay, that's fair.
And they've been playing for a few hours when Wei suddenly falls asleep. The Emperor just laughs this off and lets him nap for a while. And when he wakes up, Wei's really embarrassed and like begs for forgiveness, but the Emperor doesn't mind and he just offers to start the game over.
Okay.
As they're setting up a new game, two ministers burst in carrying the decapitated head of a dragon, which is still dripping blood that just fell out of the sky over the city. So apparently Wei Zheng executed the Dragon King in his dream while he was asleep.
That is... Yeah, that's metal as fuck. I'm not gonna lie.
So yeah, Taizong is both upset that his promise to the Dragon King was broken, but he's also really fucking impressed.
Yeah! I mean, yeah!
So he rewards Wei Zheng, though it doesn't really specify with what, but that night he slips into a deep depression for having failed the Dragon King, it says.
Well, guy's dead now, yeah.
But yeah. Fair. In his dreams, he sees the Dragon King again, carrying his own head and demanding Taizong be punished for breaking his promise. And the dragon wants to bring his case before the kings of the underworld and tries to drag Taizong there with him. So the Dragon King only relents and flees when Guanyin shows up in Taizong's dream to chase him off as well.
Guanyin, back again.
She's
the enforcer.
I was going to say the puppet master.
Yeah. She's kind of puppet master and enforcer. She gets shit done.
Yeah, she shows up when she's needed to nudge things how they need to be.
She handles things. I like her.
Mm. So Taizong wakes up screaming, ghost, ghost, and wakes up the whole palace, basically. Over the next few days, his health starts to deteriorate, and he doesn't show up for court for 5 or 6 days. The Queen Mother sends for a physician, and the prognosis is not good. He gives the Emperor 7 days to live at most.
Shit.
They set up two generals to stand guard outside his bedchamber against ghosts, and eventually they also set up Wei Zheng to guard the rear door as well. And this works a little bit. Taizong gets sleeps better after this, and he's no longer visited by ghosts, but his health continues to get worse. So he just starts getting his affairs in order, making preparations for the crown prince, etc.
Oh, you gotta do that when you got ghosts in your blood.
Yeah, you got too many ghosts in your blood. Get
ghost blood, not good.
Need some leeches.
Only so much leeches can do. You just need to get yourself leeches and opium.
I don't know what the Chinese equivalent of leeches and opium is.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just that's all I know about what you have to do when you've got ghosts in your blood. I'm not a ghost blood expert. Just ask my dermatologist.
So, as the Emperor is dying on his deathbed, Wei Zheng steps forward and hands him a letter. He tells him to take the letter with him to the afterlife and give it to a judge there named Kui Jue, who was a magistrate under Taizong's father, who became a judge of the underworld after he died. But he and Wei Zheng still speak in Wei Zheng's dreams. And if he gives Kui the letter, he might allow his soul to be spared and return to life.
Okay.
And with that plan, Taizong takes the letter and he tucks it into his sleeve before closing his eyes and dying.
Okay. That's commitment.
Hmm.
Anyway.
And that's the chapter. Emperor is dead.
That poor guy died of ghost blood.
He died of ghosts in his blood.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. They're not contagious, but get yourself screened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get your ghost blood checked.
Don't make dragon promises that you can't keep.
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't promise anything to a dragon, to be honest. Although I don't have any problems with dragons, I'm a very unreliable person.
Yeah, but you don't want to get dragged to hell.
This is true. I would rather that not happen.
But yeah, I don't really have any particular footnotes. I guess the one thing I when talking about like the weather forecast, I phrased it as between like 11 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. Obviously, the book doesn't say that. I thought it would be, you know, to kind of play up the precision of the prediction would make it a bit funnier, and also putting it in familiar terms would help with that. What it actually gives is it has names to these times, but it's the hour of the dragon, the hour of the serpent, the hour of the horse, the hour of the sheep, and the hour of the monkey.
Okay.
And there's footnotes in the book that translate those into more familiar terms, and I felt it would work better just to use the more familiar terms for comedy purposes.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of, like, at this point, what is time? You know, it may as well be the hour of the monkey. We don't know. I saw a tweet today that said it was March 124th. And you know what? Fair. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. What the fuck? We've moved past the need for linear time. It's just like, can you tell that I'm very tired?
Yes, I can.
And have several commitments today that I'm very worried about making. Yeah, fuck linear time. Anyway, that's all you need to know. It is the hour of the monkey right now, and after that it will be fuck you o'clock. And it's arbitrary is all I'm trying to say. And thus, it's fine for me to be 10 minutes late to my meeting. I'm so sorry.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. You can find it every hour of the monkey on iTunes and Spotify.
On what the fuck day?
You could spot it as words.
They are important.
Are they?
Well, they're useful when communicating.
Yeah, fuck it, you know. Twitter links and show notes, etc.
Yeah, we do things elsewhere and they're fun, so check those out.
Go into your search engine of choice, open up DuckDuckGo and type in fun shit, and you probably won't find our Twitter accounts, but you'll probably find something better.
I know, my SEO is pretty good at the moment. Like, comment, subscribe.
Like, comment, and subscribe. Those are things you can't... only one of those things you can actually do on the podcast, but still, Or maybe you can on iTunes. Fair. I don't know. I don't actually...
You can leave a review on iTunes, and that's how a lot of people find their podcasts. So you might enjoy doing that.
Yeah, I don't know how this shit works. I don't use iTunes or any of this shit.
You can leave a review on iTunes saying how great we are or how terrible we are, or writing fan fiction about those two guys at the start, or, you know, updating the Lewis fan fiction because the author abandoned it 5 chapters in.
Oh, that's sad.
I know.
It was
updated in a year.
Were the lines never joined?
I don't know. I don't know if they... You'd think they would at least pick it up again after the lines sort of did join on O'Connell Street. Yeah.
It's fucked up.
It is. It's upsetting. My heart was broken. I'd want to know how it ends. I want those two crazy kids to be happy together. Bye!
Bye! Oh dear God.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.